Hey, how you doing? This is Gina Versa hosting another episode of the Waffle Press Movie Podcast. Today's a little special because we decided to do a tribute to big influence of mine, Akira Toriyama, who did Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Sandland, many, many like animes who passed away, unfortunately, the other week. Very like tragic and sudden. So yeah, I just thought it would be a good like idea, just like kind of like talk about some influence he had on me and some other friends of the podcast. But just kind of introducing this like really cool panel we have for the show. I have a good friend of the podcast. He's been on several episodes. He hosts a podcast called the Gundam History Podcast. Friend of the show, Jeff Fogel. How you doing?
How's it going, Gene? How's everybody doing? How are you doing, Steve?
Showing.
Yeah. Cool, cool. And big big fan of this guest. Love all his art and his podcast. You could see him on the ProZD gaming channel. You're on the One Piece podcast. Welcome to the Waffle Press podcast, Steve Yurko. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling zen right now.
Yeah. Or
not zenny as in the the currency of the Dragon Ball universe, but doing all right despite circumstances.
Really glad to have you on, because I think we're on I've been on Twitter kind of back and forth. Yeah, always fun interacting with you. I think it's called X now. I don't know.
No one's gonna call it that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not calling it that.
No, it's we'll just keep calling it Twitter.
We're never gonna call it X ever.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone should. I don't know. Elon will eventually give it up. Maybe. Who knows?
There's another joke in there about them trying to pivot a video, and I'm just like, this isn't the right time.
Oh, that fresh concept of pivoting the video. Jeez.
Yeah, but the name of what they would go to,
What was it?
X video.
Oh, no.
No.
He's not thinking this through.
No. Just all kinds of bad.
Gotta bring
no
back
thoughts,
tout.
Just vibe company over there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
that's always, it's always the sign to bring it in, it's like wrap it up is when the platform says we're pivoting to video.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I freaking heard that?
Yeah. It's like
they always go back. Mm-hmm. Look at Instagram.
Jump the shark sort of, thing. Yeah. Yeah. We should just like get off all apps. I don't know. I'm just judging.
Yeah. I mean, I got one foot out the door already.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, just kind of like going right into it. Let's talk a little bit about the kind of influence Akira had on some of us kind of like growing up, because we're all big Dragon Ball fans, and I'll kind of like whoever I'll let Steve, if you want to go first, do you remember your like first memory of seeing Dragon Ball for the first time?
I'm definitely of the Toonami generation of like the original run. It must have been, I think, like 98 was when I first caught it. And I think I was still like, I was big on Pokemon at the time. Like I still hadn't like really taken the plunge into other anime. Like I've heard about Dragon Ball. I think a friend even like recommended, like, oh, you should watch this.
Yeah.
And I think I just remember catching it on Toonami one day. And I think I could distinctly remember at this point, it was Namek. Cause I think the other, all the members of the Dragon team that died in the Saiyan arc were training on King Kai's planet.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember Yamcha training, and I couldn't tell the difference at the beginning between Yamcha and Goku. I was getting confused. Mm-hmm. And that's my earliest memory. But I think I can't even remember when I just like jumped in and started watching.
Yeah.
I just started watching, and then it's just got hooked like everybody else did.
Yeah, that's crazy, because it's like, when they did the dub, and I believe it was in Funimation, it was the Ocean dub.
Oh, Ocean Group, yeah.
Yeah, Ocean Group, yeah. And it's like they just kind of start, and it's like it's just Dragon Ball Z. There's like no mention of like Dragon Ball.
Well,
And
they attempted to put out a Dragon Ball dub in 95.
Oh, did they?
This is, Funimation licensed it, and they had Ocean Group produce a dub of the first 13 episodes, but it didn't take.
Oh.
And those are like, if yeah, there's I forget what the production company off the top of my head was that put out those on VHS, but
Oh, was it Harmony
yeah.
Gold?
Not Harmony Gold.
Okay.
Harmony Gold is known for producing their own dub of Dragon Ball back in
Oh,
the
80s?
80s that also didn't take.
They kept trying.
There is a crazy extensive history of the English dubs of Dragon Ball. But yeah, Funimation tried with Dragon Ball and it didn't take. And I'm not surprised. Not that the early saga of Dragon Ball is bad. It's just I
Yeah.
don't think it's what the Western audience wanted out of anime. And I think that kind of trend I s still kind of I think continues to this day. But they gave it one more shot and they just jumped right to DBZ.
Yeah.
And it
Yeah.
you
You
know,
know.
unfortunately, early Dragon Ball be damned, it worked.
Yeah, they're like, we need to give the kids the good shit, just the most violinous, part of this anime. Yeah.
I mean, early Dragon Ball is fantastic, but it's the more, it's funny. I hear it more from like fellow artists. Artists love the Dragon Ball stuff. I think maybe there's a consensus. I hear this that your average Dragon Ball fan hasn't even seen the original series.
Yeah.
They only know Z, and these are probably the people that are driving around with like Ultra Instinct Goku on like the
Oh.
hood of their car or something.
Yeah.
When I think if I were to see someone with like a like a Piccolo Daimao like
Yeah.
symbol, I think I'd pop more for that way more than I would just super blue Vegeta, Pepsi Blue,
Yeah.
whatever the hell he turns into towards the end of Super
Ultra
S Man.
Ego? Is it Ultra Ego?
No, that's purple and no eyebrows.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a yeah, hopefully like people need to go back and watch Dragon Ball, 'cause it's like, yeah, it's like pretty good, and then some good like storylines as it like gets to the
Yeah,
end, like with King Piccolo and everything.
I
Yeah.
think even if you don't watch it, just re reading it, it's because we're talking about Toriyama. Toriyama had the manga is truly his thing. The anime is
Yeah.
not his vision,
Yeah.
and you really get to see the master at work here with just his creativity and his page layouts and his easy to read action,
Yeah.
and that's. I mean, it's all over the entire manga, but in that Dragon Ball stuff, there's just some really fantastic artwork there.
Yeah, no, it really is. Yeah, I would agree. Jeff, do you remember your first Dragon Ball memory?
So I actually remember watching like the first episodes on the Toonami block after school because I was living in Florida at the time, and like I'd come home. I would do my homework and then I'd turn it on and watch it. And I remember like, oh yeah, Gohan got abducted by my brother, blah 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 this. So like I
Yeah.
watched from the beginning and then like, the first, I don't know, I forgot how long the Raditz fight was. It might have been maybe 4 or 5 episodes or
Yeah, it's
whatever.
short.
It's pretty short, but you're like, oh, wait, the main character dies right away? And then you get the whole Snake Way stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, this is cool. And then they did a good job. Like the first time that I watched a show that had like stakes to it. Like I watched Pokemon as a kid, and like Pokemon doesn't really have like that great of stakes when you really get down to it. Like nobody will die at the end of like a Pokemon episode or series. Whereas like, oh, he stopped the bad guy, but he gave his life to do so. And you're just like, what do we do? What's going on? Is the show over? And then you get the whole Snake Way arc and whatever. And so I remember watching. Gosh, I would get really mad when I missed an episode because of like soccer practice or like mom had activities she wanted to go do with the family. I'd be like, no, mom, Dragon Ball's on. And I do remember learning how to record on a VHS tape some stuff. So I have some bootleg VHSs at my parents' house with like Dragon Ball episodes on them because I did not want to miss the show. So I watched pretty much all the way up until 2002 was when I moved from the States to Japan because of my dad's job. And so I watched in English all the way up until that event for us right after Cell Saga, I want to say, or like in the middle of Cell Saga. And then I moved back towards the end of Buu Saga. So like I remember watching almost every single episode. Not all the fillers, but I remember
If
watching
I
so
could guess
much.
the years then, so I'm guessing you moved around the end of 2000 and moved back in 2003.
I moved in 2002. It
Okay.
was summer 02 because it was the World Cup year.
All
So
right.
it might have been, oh, I'm trying to think what part of
Because
Dragon Ball Z.
I hate that I have knowledge like this, but I remember the Buu saga. Well, you know, like
2002,
the afterlife, the other world tournament, Saiyaman and like Babidi stuff that aired late in 2001. I think the follow-up Boo episodes aired in 2000 at the end of 2002.
I do remember Babidi. I remember that part. Cause like, what's this weird little like mushroom looking guy? And like, oh yeah, Goku's dead. Why is he still here? Blah blah this. And like up until a certain point, that's when like I didn't get to finish the whole series. I never watched the Buu Saga in all in English. I watched bits and pieces. That saga is really long too.
It's like
It's like a 3 or 4 year saga.
I would say, I think the other world tournament's like 2001. Because I remember a certain world-changing event happened around that time, and then I think they might have like paused it.
They banned some episodes of TV shows from cartoons being played because of it too.
That's how I remember the other world saga, where it's like, oh, this is great, and then a certain thing happened in 2001. But
Good thing you
yeah.
weren't watching Mobile Suit Gundam at the time.
Oh, I
I think
mean,
I was too,
this
so
guy
yeah.
was. Oh man.
Was it MS8th Assault Team or something like MS8th Team, something like that, I want to say. So
But yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's funny to think like the dubs, or excuse me, the airing of it. Some of it gets like out of order, and then I'm not sure if you guys remember, what is it like, ocean dub airs, and then it like starts, ocean dub ends, and then they start again with the new dub. I forgot what it was.
because
It was I forgot if it was a rights issue or a budget issue that went with Ocean.
well, it's you know, I might be wrong here, but just Funimation produced those Ocean Dub episodes, and it aired in I think they were producing these in 96, so they air in syndication. We're talking like 6 or 6:30 in the morning on local channels. For me, it
UPN.
was WB11. I remember Dragon Ball Z was still on WB11 even when it was on Toonami. But who the hell is watching who the hell is watching cartoons that early? Unless you're like, you know, you're a middle school or high school kid waking up to go to school. That's how I caught a lot of shows, but that's not, you know, it's a death slot. And it just really wasn't, I think they, you know, they got to Goku beating Rakum and it was kind of just, well, we don't know if we're going to continue this or not. And Cartoon Network acquired the rights to air it, and they put it on Toonami. And Toonami was already airing at this point.
Moltar
But
was the host.
yeah, Maltar. I still remember the DBZ days with Maltar. And yeah, they put it on that block, and that's when it took off. That's when it finally put it on the map, and that was getting eyes on it, immediate rating success. And obviously, Cartoon Network is like,
Back in the good old
more.
days of Cartoon Network.
And they probably hadn't produced any more episodes in like maybe a year or so, and that's when Funimation decides, you know, to continue producing episodes. That's when they make the decision to do it, to do the dubbing in-house, and that's when you get the voice changes and all that. And
Get Sean Chamel as Goku.
I ran into him in an elevator at MomoCon in 2018.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, oh, it's Goku. I was
Everything
like, well,
okay?
everything was okay. I was like, oh, well.
proper elevator etiquette, you know.
Yeah, it was a weird moment where I was shell shocked, but I was like, I'm not gonna blow a spot up. But he is at a con, so I could ask for a photo, but I think I had to run in my room, get a battery for a camera to go do something, so I didn't have time.
I did a faux pas one time. I got in an elevator, I was at a con, and Jim Cummings was on it, and I was just like,
oh no.
I was just like, oh, you're Jim Cummings. I didn't know. I didn't ask him for a photo or anything. But then, like, of course, when people realized it was, then they were bothering him for a photo. Oh, and he seemed like a nice enough guy. But I kind of felt like, oh, I was the one that was like, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, hey, you're Jim Cummings.
It's like, I just want to go up this elevator, sir. Mm-hmm.
He seemed pleasant enough.
Yeah.
He didn't mind posing.
He was probably like, oh, thank God, not another person asking for my information or getting a photo.
And then King Dork gets on the elevator, and I freaking know everybody. So,
I was going to say, last year at WonderCon, I ran into the voice actor for Gohan.
Oh, nice.
He was chill. I was like, can you, like, sign this? Because I bought, like, one of the Magnas. And he's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, he writes his thing. He writes, like, his autograph. And he's like, make Gohan great again. And I'm like, that's a good memory to have. And
To be fair.
I was like, that's an interesting way to sign it. But, you know.
I think there's the people that's, well, you know, people got their wish, I guess, with Dragon Ball Super Superhero.
Yeah.
I was one of those people who got their wish. So,
I don't know. But now, like, over the years, I kind of like, I appreciate the Gohan character way more. I mean, I was one of those people. I was like, oh, Gohan, he stopped training and he's nerdy.
Mm-hmm. He's a better dad than Goku.
Gohan's just a normal person.
He just so happens to be able to fight if he needs to.
Yeah. There you go. Any moments that, like, stick out for you, just kind of like watching it, like, originally, kind of, you know, like that, like, stick out of your mind, that, you know, just make this anime, like, so special? Jeff, do you want to go
first? Vegeta sacrifice, like,
oh yeah,
I do remember watching that, and that scene is, whew. Like, Vegeta's my favorite character in the series just because he has the most character growth and development of all. And he kind of accepts that he's always going to be the number two or below guy, but he gets the job done no matter what. And at that moment when he's like, dang, I did all this to get this power, but it's for evil. Yeah. I got to stop this. And he just blows himself up to not even stop, slow down the inevitable. I'm like, damn, this guy gets it. He fucking gets it. And that moment, like, that speech when they, like, somebody put on Twitter, like, over the summer, I was like, yeah, I forgot this speech is really good.
Yeah,
he's just like, everybody talking to him, and I think Piccolo's like, you know, this isn't gonna absolve you of your sins, and he's like, huh, yeah, I know, or something like that, or whatever. He's like, smugs it off. I'm like, that's my guy, that's my short king right there.
Yeah, he's great. Do you guys like feel like Toriyama just kind of like just gave all the character development to, like, Vegeta at some point, as opposed to, like, just, like, Goku?
I think, you know, like, Goku definitely kind of came stagnant. I think, like, the problem with Goku is, like, he becomes the strongest. I mean, he's not always the strongest. You know, there's, you know, in, like, with Cell and Boo, there was a stronger opponent, but kind of it didn't really change his character all that much. I think Vegeta's an underdog, you know, mm-hmm. and the underdog story is always more captivating, and you mix in with, you know, some spite in there, it's a much more interesting character arc, whether you like the character or not. And he always had more to work for, while Goku kind of just always had, like, that top spot, at least top spot amongst the protagonists, you know. And I know I'm not gonna get into power level debates and all that, but like, Goku was always the guy. He was always the top guy. And as a kid, I kind of didn't really like Goku all that much. I kind of felt like he was a spotlight hog.
Mm-hmm.
But that's before, like, really, you know, seeing the rest of, like, the story. I'm talking about the early Dragon Ball stuff, to kind of get a better idea of who he is as a character. But when, you know, I'm introduced to him, he's kind of just the guy who keeps coming in after everyone is, like, he works hard and gets their asses kicked, and then he comes in and just gets all the glory.
He does the cover sheet of the team project, you know.
Do you have any moments that you kind of remember that stick out, Steve, that just really, like, showcase Toriyama just as, like, a storyteller?
I'm trying to think of anything specific, because I think, like, with Dragon Ball, I think this is for a lot of people, Like DBZ, I think this was the first time for a lot of people they were experiencing an animated series that was oh, what was it? It's the opposite of episodic.
Cinematic?
No. It's
Yeah.
like it
Those are
continuing story.
sagas.
Saga. Oh, it's
Yeah.
like, I guess, most cartoons were just like it's a self-contained story all in one episode. So they're meant to just this could play in syndication anytime, but serialized. Sorry, now I'm throwing the word.
Serialized.
I think this is a lot of people, like a lot of young people's first exposure to a serialized animated story. And of course, Dragon Ball's not the first to do that, but I think it was the first to hit that mainstream. And I think that's what captivated so many people. They're like, oh, this is ongoing. And, and the stakes keep raising. I got to know what happens. It made for amazing must-see TV, appointment television, as the new term I'm hearing, or maybe it's an old term, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember like an exact moment of the show that hooked me. I think I was just like, I remember just being all in. Like just and I and that was like around the time, because I think I was like fully on board before season three started, the rest of the Frieza stuff.
Yeah.
I remember picking up my first Dragon Ball manga volume. It was because Viz separated Dragon Ball DBZ, so because they were releasing Dragon Ball at the time, but I think they probably got DBZ out as well. I'm like, we gotta have this stuff out too.
Yeah.
And I think it was volume, maybe it was volume 2 or 3 of DBZ. It's the one with Goku. He's a like a fighter pilot on the cover, and it
Oh,
starts
yeah.
with like Yamcha's already dead and Nappa's about to like launch an attack, and that's when he punches off Tenshin Han's arm. Like that was like a whole new world too. It was just manga, and like I had read comics from time to time, but not,
Yeah.
I didn't have my local comic shop that I could walk to all the time. So I didn't always get to go, and I first got exposed to the manga in a store called Media Play, which is basically
Oh.
what a Best Buy was. Who knows? Maybe by the time this comes out, Best Buy is not even a thing anymore. And they had like the graphic novels section. That was my first time seeing those, and I thought like that was the only place you could get them. I didn't know about the single, like, well, not the single issues, but like the comic, like comic sized editions they were doing of the manga, where they're about maybe 2 or 3 chapters in there a month. But just picking that up and just seeing that artwork and his layouts and just like a lot of how he like I it was the first piece of work I ever saw that used like speed lines. Like I
Oh,
was
okay.
introduced to speed lines and just the motion of characters, like the foreshortening and just the flow of the action. I remember picking that up and just being amazed by those techniques, and also the fact that it read from right to left. That was my first
Yeah.
exposure to that. And I remember I lent my best friend at the time it, and like he was going out to dinner with his folks, and like he came back, he was like, yeah, I was reading it, and then like I realized like halfway through I was reading it backwards. I'm like, yeah, didn't you find it weird that it started with Goku and Vegeta like fighting, and then all of a sudden
Nothing
Nappa's alive
happened.
again? Yeah.
Yeah, blows your mind, I guess, at like 6, 7 years old, like, oh, this goes left to right, you know? But yeah, it's really cool, the manga. Yeah, man. Yeah, no, it's like, you know, that's such a, you know, it's such a really like good experience, just like picking up like, you know, your first like comic or like manga, and especially like for Dragon Ball too, like just re you know watching it, because I think like just what makes like Dragon Ball like so timeless is just kind of you know, just like the characters, and then like they just like really resonate with you, I feel, or just like at least like a kid and you're like your animate in your imagination and everything, because there were other anime at the time. There was like, I mean, obviously Pokemon, but I feel like as you grew up, like you kind of like phased out of Pokemon, which, you know, like I know I'll still like play Pokemon Go, but I'm like, I'm not invested in like Ash as I am Goku, you know, or like Vegeta,
It's
or
a difference between episodic and serialized. I think even like, Yeah, Pokemon had that in the early seasons, you know, like or like the first season, I think. But then once you kind of realize it's kind of literally Monster of the Week, you
Yeah,
know.
not every episode mattered, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
And I think that's why you see that jump when people are like, oh, like I could have it this way.
yeah. Yeah, and then too, like, yeah, you know, also too, like, you know, for the anime, like when you're a kid, it like kind of like treats you like an adult, I would say. I don't know if anyone,
It was kind of it was the first one I'd say for our age range where like we were watching something that felt more adult centric than themed. Whereas like I would say at that time you'd already had Bebop, Outlaw Star, Big O, and a bunch of stuff that come on the late night stuff, but more likely than not, we were asleep before then. This was like the show we watched, like, oh, I feel kind of like this is a grown-up show where I'm watching dudes punch each other and blood come on the screen and limbs get blown off, or a bean comes this like cabbage person, they blow up on somebody's back, and Chow Su doing its thing, and a guy with three eyes and Bulbasaur wearing that skimpy dress. I'm like, what is this going on over here, right? Like, just like it felt more like you're saying it was treated us more like adults. But I was like, oh no, wait, this still is very much a kid's show.
It was
It
like
might have
a
given some of us an irrational confidence, like I'm gonna go be as strong as Goku one day, go to the gym all the time. But hey, good for you, your fitness
Wish that
dreams, whoever's
happened to
out
me.
there.
It just inspired me to watch more Dragon Ball at home.
Instead of like workout, yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, it's like a good like medium in between like kid show and like adult show, because it's like I feel like something like Evangelion, which they did air on Toonami, was like, you know, it was like more like it was like more adult, and then it probably would make you feel depressed or something.
There's a reason they got away with shows like that on the day block. It's because the higher ups had no idea what was being shown. They just let us do whatever. So they're like, yeah, sure. If you can even play that, we don't care. Like, all right.
Well, Ava, yeah, well, Ava aired one episode that was like during Giant Robot Week. And that was even like that's the thing. It was, I think Jason DeMarco talked about, you know, fighting to get that on air, but that would eventually air on the Adult Swim block. But Dragon Ball came out like at least like the the Dragon Ball bubble blowing up in the US. It came at an appropriate time for me because I was heading into like my I was a preteen teen years, and it almost felt like okay, I still like cartoons, and now it's like my cart like the cartoons are kind of growing up with me. It's like okay, it's I don't have to leave this behind. I have to pretend like I don't like this anymore. So
I think that's why we
yeah,
still
right time for
follow
me.
the media to this day, right? Like, I still play a Dragon Ball based fighting game. You know, I'm going to buy the new one when it comes out. I will watch the rest of Super eventually. I went to the movie a year or two ago in theaters and watched it. And it's been since I was, what, six when I, or seven when I first watched it. And I'm still hooked on it. Like, it does feel like it's grown up with us. And it has when you get to when you like pay attention to the actual message of what's going on and not just the fighting.
I don't think people like counted on like its everlasting influence on people. I remember in 2003, the talk was what's going to be the next Dragon Ball Z because DBZ was wrapping up.
What's the big four? You know, who's gonna take the spot?
It's like what's going to be the next big thing? And yeah, for a while, I remember it was like, Naruto seemed like it was taking that spot. And I think it certainly did because Naruto is like has had such like a big
Long
cultural
tooth,
impact on that level of Dragon Ball. Like you go to the gym, you'll see someone wearing a Dragon Ball shirt, but then you see someone wearing
The headband.
no, like the
Or
Itachi crew
oh
what's that?
yeah. Yeah. Him.
You'll see someone wearing something with that on there. But like Dragon Ball Z just became the next Dragon Ball Z because Dragon Ball Z didn't go away. There was a point in time when it just seemed like it's done. It's finally like it's a dead franchise. And then it just only just got popular again. And I think it's even more popular now than it ever was in the late 90s, early 2000s,
I had to
so.
explain to a friend in a group chat that this is the equivalent of when Michael Jackson passed away. Like, that is how impactful Akira Toriyama is to pop culture. Like, it's on the same level of like, yeah, their lasting impact is going to be of the same level of Michael Jackson
Well,
for
because
anime nerds.
You know, because I don't think you're going to have a lot of people today, considering like the internet is now just ocean of content. You're not going to have, I feel like you're going to have not have a lot of people, like two people are not going to have the same influences like we did growing up. And like bringing up Michael Jackson, it's like Michael Jackson was this worldwide icon. I think because you didn't have an internet, a lot of people were tuning into the same things on television, on radio. And that's why everyone knew who he was, and that, and he became as, you know, big as he was. And then with like, with Dragon Ball Z, it's like, with, you know, the internet was still kind of like in its primordial phase. You know, it was starting to appear in house, it's like in households. And hell, when I was done watching it on TV, all I wanted to do was go on forums and talk about it with people.
Yeah.
And
somebody's
I, so
fan
like,
art that they posted online or whatever, the drawing.
There's less things to get into, so of course a lot more people are watching TV. I wouldn't be surprised, like I think Toriyama's gonna be is one of those people that like is just one of these like celebrity deaths that affects so many people around the world. And I think as time goes on, I wouldn't like I'm willing to bet you're gonna see less and less of these kinds of responses. Not saying that there's, you know, there aren't popular celebrities or influential artists like that, but I think you're gonna see less and less connections between two very different people. You know, like like I don't know how many people that are like big workout fanatics are they gonna be able to connect with an artist about you know something as influential as a cartoon, because now it's like you could watch whatever the hell you want at any time. Appointment television is no longer a thing where you have everyone like around the world, or at least around the country, all tuning in the same time, same place, witnessing the same like unraveling story at the same time. It's so different now.
I think it was like the president of France tweeted out about Akira Toriyama's death, and I like Mexico had this whole thing about it too. Like
I saw that. It was like Mexico aired like a whole marathon. Like it was like the Mexican, like one of the biggest networks, like all day. And I'm like, yeah, it was big in Mexico.
China.
Yeah.
Was
China.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't think that there is going to be the lasting impact. Like this, we're at the point where we have like the last great artists of the world where like, these are the superstars, megastars. Like their cultural like footprint is so massive that kids will know who these people are. And I think you're right. Like we're not going to have that pretty soon with just how things are so quickly.
Yeah.
In the limelight, out the limelight now. So.
Yeah. How do you guys kind of feel like, cause it's like, I mean, you know, Dragon Ball is such a big brand and it's like, you know, it'll like, you know, seem like, Dragon Ball Daimyoa, you know, without Toriyama or some of the projects that are coming up, you know, knowing that he's like passed away, it just feels, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like feels different. Like, you know, I hope, you know, I love Dragon Ball. I hope it continues in some form, but yeah, it's just kind of bums you out a little bit, you know?
Of course.
It does, but I think like he'd rather us enjoy the content in like the stories and his work than be sad about it, you know. I believe like the best way to honor somebody is to just to appreciate the work that they did and what they have and keep engaging with it. And I feel like we're not going to stop at this point engaging with what he's given us.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, Steve, you were going to say something right before?
I think, you know, what really bummed me out was just that I felt like he still had a lot left to give the world with his influence and, you know, his artwork. And I know he, you know, he's still very involved with the Dragon Ball franchise going forward, but, you know, it's not his, you know, it's not his own hand making it himself anymore. But there are things like Superhero and Daima that just still feel very much him. And it is a shame that we're going to see a little bit less and less of that. I don't want to say manufactured, but I definitely, there's going to be a lot more, it's going to be a lot more obvious that people are trying to replicate it rather than it coming from the source.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I hope it's not, it's like Star Wars without George Lucas, but George Lucas didn't pass away, sadly, just sold it. But yeah, no, I agree. It's like, I hope it's like in good hands, because yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of story, and for Super, the storyline was still going like right up until he passed away too. It was like, was it on a hiatus? The
Well, the anime, yeah, has ended, but the manga
oh
has been ongoing.
yeah, excuse me,
So,
the manga,
yeah.
yeah. But yeah, well.
Also, like, what, 60,
68.
68? Like, 68 is not old,
Yeah. Nope.
that's still fairly young, and like I said, he probably had way more to give, and just what we like. I don't know. I guess it's weird to say, but like, what we could have, like, what else could we have gotten from him? Like, I like Dragon Quest. I like Dragon Quest games, and just like seeing the characters he designs in Monster Designs. Like, what more would he have put in like the next Dragon Quest 12 game and stuff like that? Right? Like,
Yeah.
it's his influence goes past just Dragon Ball. Sandland is the big thing that's being pushed right now, and that is like, it just screams Akira Toriyama all over it with the designs and everything, because those are his babies. And so it's I think when playing those is gonna be bittersweet, because it's like, man, like, this guy really gave us his all and his best, and like, there's nothing else we can do but appreciate the work that he gave us.
Yeah.
It's real sad. It's tough. It's so tough.
Yeah, I agree. I guess just kind of going off of that, like appreciating his work. This movie podcast, talk a little bit about favorite Dragon Ball movies, or one of your or your favorite Dragon Ball movie. I know there's a few of those. I was gonna say maybe the one you enjoyed most as a kid, because I don't know if this might like surprise you guys, but I think, because I know it's like low on the list, when I was a kid, Lord Slug was my favorite. Like, I don't know, something about like all the new metal, or was it they had like System of a Down play, just
They
two
had some crazy
Deftones.
artists in these movies. They
Yeah.
had some money, I
That
guess.
was just, oh man. Steve, do you know like why like Funimation or someone just kept choosing like System of, like, I mean, it kind of fits, but like,
Because that was just like, that's just the Western influence thinking, like, this show is badass and we
yeah.
got to make it sound badass. I realized I was very much like a stickler. I was a weeb early on, because I got. Because I was introduced to, some of the movies through like bootlegs early on, and when Funimation released the first three movies, these were produced after their initial run of the Ocean Dub episodes, and these were a lot more faithful. They were uncut. They used the Japanese score, and I love that Japanese score. So when I see, well, and I already like had heard Lord Slug sucked, but that didn't stop me from pre-ordering it from Suncoast, and then having my grandma constantly call them asking if it was in stock yet, because I saw it on shelves earlier and I'm like but when I saw, like, oh, it was like featuring music by the Deftones, Disturbed, and a lot of other hot artists, I was cringing at that, and I was 12, and but I was like, come on. And I'm like, use the Kikuchi score. It was just, that's why there was all those like Linkin Park AMVs and all that, because that was because Western fans, they thought of it as mature and badass, and that's what was mature and badass at the time. And Dragon Ball's a cartoon, and it that's the thing, and it's like it evolved from a gag manga, and I'm very thankful that it kind of came full circle and has embraced more of that. Because, oh, but no, yeah, that why they did it to appeal to the Western fans because they thought that's what they wanted. They thought like that was the vision Funimation was creating at the time. But I knew I'm like this isn't really what it's like.
Well, it created like a whole genre of like YouTube videos, you know? This is
And
Fortnite
it
of that.
did.
Yeah, the AMA. Did anyone edit any of those? Did like go to like Movie Maker, like put it together?
I've made AMVs. I've never made a Dragon Ball one. But
It was
maybe someday.
yeah, maybe. Yeah, you know, it'll come back, like people, you know, like
No,
retro.
not when like
Oh,
copyright strikes happen like
that's true.
immediately on YouTube.
That's true.
Now you gotta make TikToks. That's where it's at. Fan cams.
Yeah,
That's
there
the
you go.
thing. There it
You gotta
is.
make
The
fan
fan
cams of your favorite
cams.
characters. Fan cam of like Chiaotzu or like Tien, you know?
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
That's like because I there's a story there. If you told me like Chiaotzu was your favorite character, I'm intrigued. Because I think there's a lot more thought put into that. Not saying that you're not allowed to like any of the other main characters. That's fine. But I think if that's your boy, there's an interesting tale to be told.
Interesting choice, yeah, because like when you're I'm guessing any of those three original movies, was that your favorite?
I remember the Toonami had a Saturday night block at the time. Maybe they were calling it Midnight Run. Yeah, I
Oh
think it was Midnight
yeah.
Run before they switched to Midnight Run being a weeknight thing with DBZ and like Gundam Wing. And I remember just not being able to fall asleep that night and Dragon Ball Z is on. And it's not an episode I recognize, and then the bumpers are just referring to it as Dead Zone. Not Dragon Ball Z Dead Zone, not Dragon Ball Z the movie Dead Zone, just Dead Zone. I'm
It was
like, what is
ominous advertising too, right?
yeah
Like,
it was
and I was like, what
well
is this something completely different? Is
yeah
this like a separate show or canon? And that's when I found out that was a movie.
mm-hmm
And my first DVD I got was Dead Zone.
oh
So that got a lot of play.
mm-hmm
And I unfortunately didn't own the other two till much later.
yeah
But those like Trium, like I
Tree
like to
of
call those
Might.
the original DBZ movie trilogy because it's like, oh, the first one's great, second one better, third one kind of a shit show, but still enjoyable, but not as good as the other two.
Yeah, because it's Dead Zone, Tree of Might, and then World Strongest,
No,
right?
it's World Strongest is the second
The
movie.
second one, okay.
And I love the ocean dub versions of those movies. I think that was the cast I was initially introduced to, and they're just like they're giving it their all in this, and it has the score. It does have like a lot of added sound effects, which I kind of think is sacrilege, but I'll let it slide. And it's hard for me to watch those movies and not just be like, you got to put on the ocean dub version. It's those are awesome. I think World Strongest is probably the best movie. It might not be my personal favorite. It's definitely one of my favorites. I don't know if it's my top. But those, yeah, and like Triamite is okay. Triamite, it's an odd one. Like I
And a
don't know
cool
too much
concept
of it,
with
but
like having another brother of Goku
yeah.
show up.
Well, was well,
Well,
yeah,
he's not
the
even related
like.
to Goku. It's
Yeah,
just it's the weird, crazy no way school where he's just a Saiyan that looks exactly like Goku.
yeah.
He's meant to be his like,
I thought he
evil
referred to him as brother
doppelganger.
in one scene. No? Oh, I
No.
guess I might be Bernstein bearing that or
I
whatever.
think Gohan mistakes him for Goku at
He
some point.
does. He does, because that's when he gets the fruit. I remember that part. And in terms of like movies past that, because for a while those were just the three movies, and then my friend at the time introduced me to a couple bootleg fan sub tapes, and the first one was BoJack Unbound, which would be eventually known as. And by then, like we, season three had finished airing, and so we knew about Super Saiyans and all that. That was cool. And then just showing me this, where it's like, hey, not only does Goku turn Super Saiyan, but so does Vegeta, and Gohan, and Trunks, who's Vegeta and Bulma's son, by the way. And movie You
nine's
haven't
really
met him
great
yet,
because,
but
yeah. And movie nine is great because it's the full roster, like the full, basically the main cast from like the Android Cell sagas. So that just introduced me to this whole new world. And I still think that movie is great. I think it gets a lot of flack because people say that the villain's underdeveloped, but I don't like he's not supposed. All he is supposed to be is just an opposing force that Gohan has to topple to prove that the Earth is safe with Gohan and without Goku. I don't care about Bojack's backstory. And I've seen Broly's, and Broly's is fucking stupid. Yeah,
He's
so.
like, yeah, Goku was like crying as a kid next to him in the crib, and that created like a vendetta that lasted like 30
It's the
years.
stupidest thing, and
Yeah.
people love it.
Which
But
is
it's
kind of the same rival with him, Vegeta, if I'm not mistaken. He cried that loudly, like, get this butt off the planet.
Yeah, kind of. I was gonna say, if anyone watches like Venture Brothers, it's like a Venture Brothers origin or something.
Almost, yeah. And there's a reason why I use the term crazy no way school.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, there were some really interesting films before like the newer films that came out, like Battle of Gods, the Broly movie. Do any of the new ones like hold up to the original films by any chance? Do you guys feel?
Well, the new ones are canon, which they have that, which helps a lot. But I
Which
mean, if I'm
makes
going,
the
first 26 episodes of Dragon Ball Super very confusing.
Yes, because they repeat the was it the Frieza
The
movie?
Resurrection
Up
F
through Resurrection
and
F.
Battle of the Gods are like they redo it, but I say the Super Broly movie is so fucking good. They did a good job with Super Broly. I saw it. It was actually the same weekend that I got this guy right here at PAX South in 2018. It was like because it was them repackaging, reintroducing Broly to be okay. He's a legendary Super Saiyan, but we have to like bring him in where he fits into the Super story. And they did a good job of introducing him to that setting without shoehorning him. I think it was still basically the same, like he was just super loud or whatever, but you got to see why Broly acts the way he is, why he's just quiet and why he doesn't speak and why he's just like has to have a handler because if he doesn't, he just goes, rages. And it humanized him a bit, which then it makes more sense why they don't, spoiler alert, it was 2018. If you haven't seen it, too bad. Why they don't kill him at the end. They say, okay, cool. We can harness his power. He's on our side. And then it also, he puts Vegeta and Goku through the works, and they have to fuse to even take him on. And whoo, just that was also my first time seeing that art style in the show because I didn't watch Super at that point. I had just kind of like been following it through friends and like reading bits and pieces here and there, and watching them have to fuse into Super Saiyan Blue Vegito to fight Broly and still getting worked. And oh, just the way they cut everything back and forth. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend watching that one. It's really good.
It's
It's a lot
great.
of fun.
It was actually, I'm gonna be like a nerd right now, is Gogeta.
Was it Gogeta?
But
Yeah. It was. Damn it.
Vegito's Patara earrings.
Patara.
Okay.
You
Yeah,
almost
that's right.
got it.
That's
You
right.
almost
That's right.
got it. It's
Right.
okay.
Wait, but no, but Vegeta was. They fused Vegito in one of the recent movies, though. No, am I tripping?
He's in Super.
He's in Super.
He's in the
Okay,
Super series.
he's in Super Series. Okay,
Oh
and
yeah,
they
I
just
know.
completely retcon how Vegito works.
Yeah, they changed the how the earrings work. They're like, no, actually, it was always like this. You guys just weren't using it right.
Oh, Super, Super,
Wait,
Super.
what? We could have done this the whole time instead. It's like,
Yeah,
yeah,
I love
not the
that.
whole.
Yeah, that's such a Toriyama thing where he's just like, it's different now. Or he like, do you guys see where it's like when he talks about launch, he just completely forgot about launch for like 10 years or something?
Yeah, I mean he forgets about a lot of characters. I mean,
I was in a Discord and people were talking about like Dragon Ball Super. They all really remember this character. Like maybe Toriyama just doesn't care about this character like I'll do, and it turns out he just didn't care about that character. He just
Yeah.
wanted
I don't
to.
think Dragon Ball I think Toriyama doesn't really care that much about Dragon Ball the way Dragon Ball fans do. That's for sure.
Like, we never got closure. It's like, he's not giving you that closure, bro. Just move on. Just move on.
Yeah. But yeah, I think in terms of like the newer films, yeah, I think the Broly's pretty up there. And then I really enjoyed Superhero.
Yeah, superhero like over delivered. And
Yeah.
I wound up just rewatching it recently, and
Oh, really?
yeah, I think my only complaints about it is just it's very exposition heavy at the beginning, but it's fun. It's fun
Yeah.
because it feels like Toriyama, and the CG. I think a lot of people are dreading the CG, but it looks a lot better than I think anyone was expecting because we saw all the experimental CG in the other three movies, and it
Oh,
was usually. It pretty jarring.
And
But I
also, like
think,
I said earlier, justice for Gohan and Piccolo. Cough.
yeah, I mean, it was
Yeah.
great for like Gohan and Piccolo to have some focus. It's Bio Broly, but better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even think you didn't need all that shit with Goku and Vegeta in it. It feels really shoehorned in. It kind of
Yeah.
feels like
Yeah. Just so you know, they're still here, guys.
if they
Yeah.
didn't put him in there, they would just be constantly hounded by annoying fans about where Goku and Vegeta,
Yeah.
and maybe they were worried like if we don't put Goku and Vegeta on the poster, no one's gonna go see it.
Yeah.
I the Goku Vegeta fight's my least favorite part of that movie.
It's
I will
cool until
say,
it's like, why do we have it, right? Like,
yeah. I was gonna say it also didn't make sense because it's like the whole thing is like, oh, Vegeta finally won a fight. It's like, but he's won the other two fights technically. Like he beat Goku. It took like, yeah.
they
Won
no,
clean
they were a
this time.
draw. They were
They were a draw,
undecided.
yeah. They were a draw. Or
He won
like,
clean for once.
he won clean, yeah. Because it's like, was it when they're both Super Saiyan 2? He just like I forgot how he
Well,
beats him,
that's
but
when like Goku says like, "Hey, Majin Buu is emerging. We gotta go." It's like, "Can we put a pause on this? Go take care of it." And Vegeta's like, "Yeah, sure. Yeah." It's like, why don't you turn around and take out those Senzu beads?" And Goku's like, "Okay." And then,
God, it's
it's
like
like
wow.
Gilligan's Island where you just hit someone in the back of the head and
Yeah.
they're knocked out for days. I appreciate the new Dragon. I mean, I appreciate the new Dragon Ball movies because Battle of Gods basically, put the franchise on this path that we are now. But as like DBZ progresses, the martial arts get less and less mesmerizing to watch. I was talking about this earlier as a kid. It's like I kind of would, my least favorite parts of when Goku would show up to like clean house. And unfortunately, that kind of carries on in some of the new media, like Battle Gods and Resurrection F both. When Goku finally comes in to have the big fight, that's when I kind of check out. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And my problem is also is the martial arts. It's more about, and this is even in superhero, I'll say this, like when they're kind of just flying around and just, throwing fists and throwing ki blasts, I don't care as much.
Yeah.
But then I'll watch World's Strongest and Goku and Piccolo are fighting and Goku's doing fucking backflips and cartwheels and they're just matching blow for blows. I will any day of the week, I will take that more grounded classic martial arts in my Dragon Ball over something out of the Budokai
Yeah.
Tenkaichi games.
Like
Sparking Zero coming soon, or whatever it's
yeah,
called.
infinite power
Do people
ups.
think it looks good? I don't think the graphics look that great, to be
I
honest.
think whoever did game capture did as good as they could with the beta game.
Yeah, this
I just
doesn't
got
have
laid
character
aside.
models, and I know we're spoiled with Dragon Ball Fighters. No one's got, shit on arc systems, but I'm just like, come on, like, how many generations are we in now? And like,
You
what's
know, anime
walking?
games don't get good. Animes don't get good video games, and it's okay. We've learned to accept that.
What are some exceptions here? I mean, Fighters is a
I
tremendous
would say
game.
Fighters is a fighting game, not a anime
Not
fight.
an
Like it,
anime game.
yeah. It is a traditional, well, fighter, side
And
scrolling
Budokai
fighter.
Tenkaichi is not a fighting game? It's like an
I'd
arena
say
fighter.
Budokai Tenkaichi is an arena fighter. It's arena fighter.
I wish
You
I
can
felt
say
like
that.
like an anime game would be like Dragon Ball Z Sagas. Like that
Yes,
piece of shit,
unfortunately.
a game where you
Unfortunately,
could
yes.
go anywhere,
Or
but mostly on the path that you're
the
supposed
My
to go on.
Hero One's Justice game, like that kind of bullshit. Like that's the stuff that they give us, you know? Which is why Arxis did Fighters, and I'm very glad. But give us Fighters 2 already. It's been too long. and fix the bugs with the rollback, because that should be glitching. It'd be
Yeah.
bad. It gets ugly.
I wish I played all these games to like have a say, so I'll just agree to like everything you guys said.
Don't play
Yeah,
fighting games. It's a mind virus.
well,
I
I bought Tekken 6 or Tekken 8 just to
haven't
like
played fighters in years. I mean, I love
no.
the game, but I'm just not good at it. Like, I was doing the training up to a point. It's like, okay, then just do a bunch of these buttons. And I'm like, how are you supposed to do that?
Just like hit all of them all at
It's
once,
not
you
for
know?
me. It's not
Fighters
for me.
made me
But
have to switch to an arcade stick because my hand was cramping on controller so bad trying to do like all the stuff. Ugh. yeah. Well, fun games. I was just gonna say, just we'll press on time, but I'm just kind of just wrapping up here. Any kind of like last thoughts about like Toriyama, just as like an artist, or you know, kind of, you know, I know we've been talking about it, but yeah, any like final thoughts you guys want to say?
He's the goat.
Just
I'm
go.
just throwing it out there. He's the goat. He's like
Yeah.
if in the Mount Rushmore of animation and like manga, or I forgot the term for manga artists, he's like on there. He's got a big slab in that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. All
And
right.
Miyazaki has another slot already, even though he's still
Yeah.
alive. So we got two
There
slots left.
you go. Yeah, no, I agree. Steve?
What we were talking about earlier with all these different countries around the world, the way they chose to honor him, I think says a lot about just how influential he was as an artist, as just a person. I think there's not enough you could say about how much he's influenced just the trajectory of the manga and anime industry. But I'm just thankful for all that he put a lot of himself into his work, and that's what makes it special.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that we won't get to hear from him anymore.
Yeah. No, yeah, I definitely agree with that, because it's like, you know, there's stuff where it's like when Toriyama became a dad, he introduced like Gohan into the series, or you know, how much of himself like he put into the characters and everything. So yeah, I'm
The fits he actually wore got put
yeah.
into the series.
Yeah, he drawed upon himself, and I think that's like a really like great artists, and you know, very insightful, and definitely gonna miss him. So yeah, rest in peace. But yeah, no, I think that's a really good like note to end on. Yeah, because yeah, no, this was a great show with you guys. You know, I just want to say like thank you for you know, everyone's time, and I really felt like I was like back in like grade school, like talking to like Dragon Ball
We're at
Z like
lunch.
around lunch or like recess. It was cool like talking to you know other fellow big like DBZ fans. Yeah,
It'll never be
but
replicated, but I guess we could come close. Yeah.
yeah, exactly, the vibe or the feel. Yeah, this is like a cool hangout
Yeah.
podcast. But yeah, no, thank you, thanks so much. Yeah, thank you Jeff, thank you Steve so much
Thank
as
you
well.
for
Thank
having
you,
me
Gene.
on.
Yeah. And then you know, last thing we do here, any plugs, promotions, anyone wants to you know, just to you know, promote or anything, or whatever social media people could find you at for the listeners as well. Steve, if you want to go first.
Sure. You can go to steveyurko.com. Most socials, I'm just at Steve Yurko. Listen to a couple of the podcasts I host, the One Piece podcast being one of them, the other one being Four Kids Flashback that I host with Tara Sands, talking about all about the history of Four Kids Entertainment with the people that work there.
I need to watch
And
that. Listen to
it's
that.
good. It's
Yeah.
good. I listened to it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally different kind of cultural influence Four Kids had, but it's a fascinating story that needs to be told, and I'm honored to be a part of it. And yeah, I'm also a co-host on the Let's Play channel, ProZD Plays Games, over on YouTube. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. Well, yeah. I hope listeners be sure to check those out. Jeff, where can anyone find you at, or if you want to promote anything?
On Twitter and Threads, if you're using that, I'm Fogey underscore Bear. My podcast account is Operation Gundam History. I'm bringing that back. I think it's Gundam underscore History for Twitter. Basically, we're going through the Universal Century and watching episodes, recapping, talking about themes and stuff of that nature of the show. Hope to bring that back by the summer of this year. Sorry, I took a year off. Just moving is hard. And also, yeah, that's kind of it. Twitch, Flickr, Square Bear. And you should play Grounded on Xbox Game Pass or now on PlayStation and Switch later this year, whenever it drops in April. So keep me employed, please.
I'll be sure to do that. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, G9892. You can follow the Waffle Press at the Waffle Press Podcast on Twitter, at the Waffle Press Podcast on Instagram. We're on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We've been professionally unprofessional.